you, church. Thank you, Eric, Anna, Matt. It's a joy to serve the Lord together here, and we're going to look at God's Word. It's so good to not come up here and say, hey, I got to figure out what to tell you, but I get to tell you what God says from His Word, and we're going to look at Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Let's read this scripture and give attention to this morning. Here's the word of the Lord. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. How do you respond when you see an overwhelming need? An overwhelming need that's urgently needed. Some of you might say, hey, I'm jumping in. Some of you might say, hey, I'm freaking out. Some may be like, what do we do now? I'm not so sure. Well, Jesus says something to his apostles here in Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38, today's text. He's really saying it to us because these are mission principles. These are mission principles Jesus laid down, and Matthew wanted to make sure he was passing them on to us on mission this side of Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. And what Jesus then told to them we're considering today is the great need for gospel workers. There's a great need now as there was a great need then. So today we're going to consider what Jesus said and how his words apply to us. And hope everyone's saying, okay, how does this apply, Lord? My heart is open. How does it apply to TCC in this moment and in this, what we're calling the year on mission at Trinity Community Church? Here, near and far, we're on mission. And you may say, isn't every year supposed to be a year on mission? Yes, it is. Amen. But why did we call this year at Trinity our year on mission? Well, let me give you a little bit of background to this. Every year, Trinity elders and I gather together and we prayerfully evaluate where we're at as a church. What's going well? What's not going so well? What are we doing that we want to keep doing? And what are we not doing that we need to do better at? We don't just assume we're doing all good. We're prayerfully and sometimes ruthlessly evaluating where we're not doing so good. And our unified conclusion was, we're not the best. We're not the best at living on mission and having ownership in mission. We're not condemning anybody because in some ways it comes back to looking at us. So how have you guys led so that Trinity is vibrantly owning their part in the mission of the gospel in this world and this day? So when there's a problem, you don't just say, whatever, just like, let's keep doing it. No, we said, we got to do better. We need to do better. So I was charged with going to our staff team, and they're engaged and bright and ready and eager. And I said, guys, you got to help me figure out how Trinity is going to do mission better and create more ownership in mission. And we put our heads together and prayed, and one thing we came up with, hey, we're going to call 2025 the year on mission. The elder said, okay, we're in on that. And so we've been doing several things this year, not that any year is not a year on mission, but this year in particular to accent mission here at Trinity Community Church. And It's been an exciting ride. We started with a prayer focus that was leaning toward mission. We put a challenge in front of the congregation at the annual meeting. And as a pastor in my years of ministry, I've rarely seen such an immediate response from the high ownership people in a church to a 10-minute, 5-minute charge that I gave them. It's like, wow, God's doing something here. And then there was more prayer and focus, and we brought in Ivan Veldhuizen for our missions event. Some of you were there for that. On Sunday, Ivan spoke. And then we've been walking through Ivan's book, which is basically biblical discipleship of missions. And many Trinity folks have been jumping in, and you still can if you haven't done so yet. And so this four-week series is kind of the last of the elements we identified, but hopefully there's going to be more things throughout the year as we just watch the Spirit of God lead us and work here at Trinity. Certainly the DR team that we're sending fits into that. So let's look at what Jesus said, what Jesus saw. He saw, in the midst of a lot of issues and people and needs as he was working, he saw a spiritual harvest. He saw an urgency, an urgent opportunity. He saw a great need for workers to declare the message. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And of course, there's a therefore in the next verse that we're going to consider today. But let's just sort of quickly kind of put this in context. Jesus' ministry, there's a lot going on as Jesus in the period of his 3-year earthly ministry. But in summary fashion, connecting this to our lives, we could kind of look back from Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38. In Matthew 9, Jesus is ministering. You go look back and like, wow, he's healing. He's raising people from the dead. He's doing some amazing work. But don't just think of it as Jesus and his compassion and good things. Jesus possesses a unique authority as the King. We've been singing about it today. He's the King of Kings. And Matthew is now kind of at a transition point, looking back at what Jesus has done, but now looking forward to his disciples being on mission. And chapter 10 contains these mission principles, the delegate authority of the disciples sent out on mission by Jesus. But please don't just say, oh, this is historically describing Jesus and the disciples. It does, but it's more than that. This is mission principles for us. And how do I know that? Well, there's a lot in chapter 10, and as Jesus lays down this text here, Matthew is telling us this because this is for our mission too. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission, right? Matthew is in many ways building towards that by not only telling us things Jesus and the disciples did, some of which is unique to them, but much of that is the same for us. And what we're seeing then here in this text today is mission principles for us. Don't miss that. This is not just them, this is us. This is looking beyond to where we are on mission as followers of Jesus, sent out by him, the mission principles here and today. Now let me just make sure you don't interpret this as like, well, Jesus did good stuff, the disciples did good stuff, so we should go and do good stuff. Although we should do good stuff, this is much bigger than that because of the uniqueness of who Jesus is. He came for a specific purpose. And a couple of verses here that get at it. Matthew 9, 13, one of those verses in there. Matthew 9, 15. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Right? So he's here to forgive sins. And he's coming to call sinners, to save sinners, and that there's nobody out there who isn't a sinner, but those who smugly think they don't need what Jesus is offering are going to miss it, but those who admit they're a sinner and that they need his forgiveness are going to get it. He came to call sinners. And that just, a couple of those verses give the sense, oh, this is the uniqueness of Jesus. This is why he came, and we're declaring him. We're pointing others to him. The gospel of the kingdom is not just Jesus doing good things. It's Jesus offering forgiveness of sins because he's the king who came to save sinners. Now let's move into today's message and consider, okay, then and now, workers are needed. Workers are needed. What does Jesus say as it relates to the need for workers? And we're going to consider four things today. The compassion for people that drives it. If we really see people the way Jesus sees people, we're going to say, wow, we need workers bad. We need gospel mission workers really badly who are declaring this message of Jesus. And then the abundant harvest that defines the need. And if we're really seeing things clearly, we're like, wow, there is such a need because of this spiritual harvest. That is, people who are rescued by the gospel and brought into the kingdom through personal faith in Jesus. There's a need for messengers to be declaring this. It's astounding, the opportunities and the urgency. And then in light of this compassion and the opportunities and urgency, what are we doing? We might say, okay, we're getting on doing stuff, lots of stuff. Let's do lots of stuff. We got to do lots of stuff. And nope. Although we're going to do some stuff, the most important thing that we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to pray that God would deliver to meet the need. We're going to get in line with the sovereign God. We're going to trust in him. We're going to say, Lord, and regularly and earnestly lift up this prayer. Lord, we need more workers. Raise up workers. God, do your work to move the workers to where they need to be. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time just identifying some on-mission needs. You may see some that I don't see, but there's some I clearly see that I'm going to put in front of us to be praying for. We're going to unpack what Jesus said about the need, and then we're going to identify ways we can pray with respect to the need. Let's consider the need. There was a poster in 1779, I am told, that was looking for some young men to join the cause of the revolution in fighting for their freedom. Similarly, today, we need workers, young and old, male and female, longtime believers and newer believers. We need a bunch of workers for the harvest. And Jesus here is talking about the spiritual dynamics of that. Let's unpack God's word, look at Matthew 9, 35 through 38, and apply it to our year on mission. So first, compassion. Matthew gives us a summary of Jesus' ministry, and that's verse 35. It's kind of a way of saying, hey, here's a lot of stuff Jesus is doing. It's very similar to a summary that was given in chapter 4. So these words here are very much descriptive of the kinds of things Jesus did in his earthly ministry. But then he moves to a consideration of what was the gut level. That's the Greek word, splagna. It means guts. It's like that gut level reaction of Jesus to when he saw people, the crowds of people. What did he see? And it was a deep concern for them. And that concern for them is what drives the need for gospel workers and the urgency of it. So just considering this impacts us. This is like, okay, do I see people the way Jesus saw people? And if I do see people the way Jesus saw people, I'm going to say, wow, there's a lot of need for workers for this vast spiritual harvest opportunity before us. So this is going to shape our concern for people and our sense of the need for workers for the gospel. And if somebody as a professing Christian just sort of tooling through life and not seeing things this way, they're totally missing what Jesus saw. So let's consider first the description of his ministry, and then we'll move into what Jesus saw. Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Of course, very different cultural context there, but he went to teach in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That's heralding the message of good news that he is the king and what the king brings, and healing every disease and every affliction. He gave some sense of his authority, and notice the word every and every. Jesus, by doing this, is displaying who he is and signaling the need for turning to him. Let's move into verse 36. And some of 35 we will do, some of 35 we will not do. That's another message. But here's the heart of Jesus, which is clearly something we are called to do. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, literally torn and thrown down. You think of a sheep that's torn and thrown down. This is how Jesus saw people, like sheep without a shepherd. Do we see crowds this way? Imagine we're in a stadium full of people, thousands, tens of thousands. When you look around, do you see, wow, all of these, unless they know Jesus, are harassed and helpless? They need a shepherd. And a lot of times we miss that, don't we? Now, if you go to a DCF office or a psych ward or a drug rehab, if you go to a nursing home or a hospital ICU, you probably go, wow, there's a lot of people here with a lot of needs. They really need the shepherd. But what if you go to a typical neighborhood in Norwood or one of the surrounding towns? What if you go to a typical high school and there's some kids hanging out? What if you go to a typical job site? What if you go to a typical boardroom? What if you go there? What do you see? And many say, I see a lot of people that seem fine. And I want to tell you, no, that's a sham. They're not fine. They're harassed and helpless unless they know Jesus. They're like sheep without a shepherd. So we need to see people for who they are, the way Jesus sees them, with eyes of compassion, so that Jesus has our hearts to move us to where he wants us to be in this mission of gospel proclamation. Let's consider the abundant harvest that defines the need. There's so much here, but Jesus is definitely speaking about urgency. Why urgency? Because there's judgment. And you say, where do you get judgment, Pastor? That's what harvest is. Harvest points to the reality that there is a judgment of God, yet there is the opportunity for deliverance, rescue from that judgment by what? By Jesus and the gospel. And there's a need for messengers who are declaring the message of Jesus and the gospel and living in line with Jesus and his purposes, pointing others to him so that people are receiving that gospel and delivered from judgment and gaining the rescue that Jesus provides. All this is there in the image of the harvest. And who then are believers in this? They are like workers in the harvest, helping others to hear the message and receive Jesus, growing in discipleship for him, right? So this is what Jesus is pointing to, but I want us just to get the sense of spiritual urgency here. I want us just to consider that as we look at the verse, Matthew 9:37. So much here we could meditate on. What Jesus saw is spiritual urgency. He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let's let that shape how we see life, reality, people, situations, where we live, where others live. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. This is the reality here. This is the reality near. This is the reality far. This is where we live. If you look at New England, where we live, what do we see? A place where there's very little spiritual engagement. Very low interest in the things of God. And you happen to live there. In some ways you may say, oh, what a bummer. In other ways, it's like, wow, what an opportunity. What an opportunity for us here on mission. Where everywhere you look today, spiritually informed people probably would say there's a crisis there, right? You look at youth, there's a crisis there. You look at unengaged groups of young adults or whatever, there's a crisis there. You look at mental health, there's a crisis there. You look at cultural decline, there's a crisis there. You look at the world and its needs, there's a crisis there. But let me tell you what I think is the greatest crisis. The greatest crisis is Christless. Christless people, Christless context, Christless groups, because Christless means an eternity without Christ, separated from God forever and ever, unless those people somehow meet the shepherd. This is the reality of here, near and far. Do you see the incredible opportunity, urgency, and need? Someone has said there's three lies that counteract healthy biblical mission and evangelism. Lie number one, there's no heaven. Lie number two, there's no hell. Lie number three, there's no hurry at all. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and there is a hurry. The urgent opportunities for people to meet the Lord and receive rescue through Jesus Christ. Isn't it good that you live here in the mission field where there's all these opportunities if you're a believer in Jesus Christ? So you say, hey, I want to do my part. I'm going to give you kind of three things just real quick. Pray for people around you who need Christ. Keep looking for ways to point them to Christ. Invite them to church, Bible study, gospel conversation, whatever. If you want to be educated in this process of thinking missionally, join a far-off saint small group. Some of you still are not in one. You can get in one. This is the book we're using. The Sunday morning group, after service group, is meeting today. They're just starting it today. Go down to room 102 and join with them if you want. A couple groups that haven't even started yet. There's a Thursday night group that's heavily leaning toward young adults. That hasn't even started yet. Starts this week. So if you're like, hey, well, I missed it. No, you didn't miss it. You can still get in if you're not in and get some good encouragement, teaching, instruction in living on mission. And the other thing I would suggest is walk through doors. You're out there. You're beside those people, work, neighborhood, family. You see the needs. But remember, the spiritual need is the biggest need. And then don't back off. Don't walk away and say, oh, it's not mine. I don't know what to tell you. No, you're there. Look for the opportunities. Walk through the open doors. Point them to Jesus. Care for them in his name. God's going to use you in those places he has you. He's going to use us in this place he has us. Let's look next at prayer. It strikes me, I hope it strikes you, with all the things that we might do when confronted with great need and great opportunity, Jesus didn't put the accent there. You know, let's get it organized, guys. We need more guys. You guys go out and holler and get more people. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But Jesus puts the accent on God's work. Isn't that remarkable? Not our work. Jesus puts the accent on prayer and submitting to the sovereign God, not on the things we do. And of course, there are things that we would do as he leads us and guides us. So prayer, God delivering to meet the need, is the emphasis and accent. Considering the needs, considering the urgency, considering the opportunities, considering the complexities and difficulties and all those things, what are we going to do? Let's pray. Let's pray earnestly, consistently, individually, and together. pray for God to raise up and send out gospel workers here, near, and far. This is the mission principle for all of us. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, 38. Again, this is a wonderful verse worthy of meditating on and considering its implications. Therefore, Jesus said, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest. He's the Lord of it, to send out laborers into his harvest. Notice the focus on trust in the sovereign God and asking him to move. And we're aligning our hearts with that. Therefore, because of the need, therefore, pray earnestly. We've got these, I've got another little prop here besides my Far Off Saints book. The Here, Near, and Far globes that we have in the central lobby. Anybody use this as a prayer reminder? Anybody need a prayer reminder? Take one, let it be a prayer reminder. Oh, I'm going to pray here. I'm going to pray near. I'm going to pray far. I'm going to pray for God to raise up the workers, God to direct in everything for the purposes of the advance of the gospel. So I've been thinking about this. Why did Jesus place such an emphasis on prayer? And I haven't totally exhausted it, but let's just give some considerations to what happens in us when we pray sincerely. What happens in a person? What happens in a church? Well, here's one thing that happens. As we submit to God, as we call out to God, as we trust in God, something's happening in our hearts. We're not like, hey, somebody ought to do something about that. But we're like, we're aligning our hearts and minds with God's heart. We're moving toward embracing his heart and his revealed agenda in Scripture when we align with proper biblical prayer. So we're going, yeah, I've got a part. Each believer's got a part. Each healthy church has got a part. We got to do our part. Lord, move according to your will and heart to advance that on mission. Then something's happening here is that prayer or that church is somehow saying, here am I, Lord, I'm willing. I'm not saying, Lord, you know, reach everybody, but I won't do this, won't serve in nursery, won't do youth ministry, won't share with my neighbors, won't go anywhere else, won't send any money. But Lord, you do that. Like, no, that when I'm praying, I'm like, Lord, whatever you want from me, I'm willing. I'm available. So then that person is moved by God to where God wants them to be. They're moved by God to do the assigned work that God has for them. And of course, there are differences. We're not all going to Africa because we're not all called to Africa, but we are all called to on mission. And then whatever that is God is calling you to, you're embracing. And then as the Spirit leads in unity with his church and other believers, we're seeing those open doors, we're like, hey, did you at work this week? Oh, in my neighborhood. Oh, there's this. Oh, there's an opportunity. Did you notice what's happening? We're entering through those open doors and we're encouraging others. Hey, come help me with. And they're like, oh, that sounds awesome. I want to do that. So instead of this being somebody else's job, as we're praying, we're embracing our part in our job and helping others to do their part in theirs. This is why prayer is so important, all in submission to and surrender to the sovereign God. So TCC on mission needs to pray for. Believers growing in mission, you've been sent on it, and a church growing in mission, we've been called to it. Are you willing to pray with me for needed gospel workers? Here, near, and far. And this is not in any way an exhaustive list, but just giving us some ideas of like, okay, yeah, that's that. I'm going to pray for that. So pray for, here's some near opportunities. Your neighborhood. Who lives beside you? Your workplace. Who's in your family circle? Who's at your school? Get some specific names that you're praying for. that, Lord, there's a worker needed there. Somebody's needed there with that issue. And at TCC, here's some things. We need more workers in TCC Kids and Inside Out. This year, one of the things we've been working on is strengthening the philosophy and the goals behind our family ministry model. We're really excited about this. We've been working hard. There's going to be some changes, all for good, all to be more effectively reaching and ministering to children and youth. And here's the one conclusion we all are unified in. Doing this is really good, and it's going to take more people. So who are those more people? God's got to raise them up. Will you pray with me that God would raise them up? VBS, yes, we need workers. Nursery, we need workers. Sundays, we got different roles and jobs. It takes a lot of behind-the-scenes work to make Sundays a great experience of gospel ministry. We need more. Friends for Life, all kinds of places. So if you see somewhere like, yeah, we do need more, don't just say, you know, they ought to get somebody. Pray with us that God would raise people up. Can you do that? Let's talk about workers near this region. We happen to live in a mission field. If you look at the percentages of New England, they're not encouraging the percentage of people that profess faith in Jesus Christ, attend church, or any such measurement of spiritual health and engagement. So do we give up? No. Wow, what an opportunity. Let's pray for more workers. Let's pray for God to raise them up. We can't do everything, but we can do our part. Trinity is seeking to train next generation leaders. We're trying to partner with others in starting and revitalizing churches. We're trying to identify areas and groups where there's need for better and more engagement. And where we aren't doing it, we pray that God would send somebody else to do it. So let's pray for the needed workers. And pray for needed workers far. So in the 1980s, there was a young couple at Trinity Community Church named John and Karen Ames. They devoted a good part of their life to ministry in another country. And who might be the John and Karen Ames raised up in the season of 2025 to 2035? Could we pray that there might be someone like that raised up and sent out by TCC, not just supported by TCC? We've done that for many, and we will continue to do that, but actually sent out from TCC to one of these unreached people groups, unengaged groups, where the Christian percentages are, you know, less than 1%. In some places, not even any believers at all. Might we be a place raising up healthy ministry vision? Again, the books say it well. If they're not doing it here, don't send them there. But somebody who's doing it here, that's called by God and sent out there. This would be something to pray for. And I'm asking you to join me in that. Here, near and far in this year on mission, can we close by just considering the wonderful work Jesus did on the cross for us? Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." That description of his life. But he died with a specific purpose, profound purpose and result, to give his life as a ransom for many, that their sins might be forgiven, they might be set free from its bondage, its damnation, its domination, to live in freedom of knowing God the King forever and ever. And Jesus secured this. What a glorious message we get to proclaim. Let's live and pray on mission. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we commit to you our lives, We surrender. You are the King. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would move our hearts to a compassion like yours, one of truth and love. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would raise up workers for the harvest, workers here, near, and far. Lord, may you have your way in us, individually and in Trinity as a church, for the cause of more people hearing the message of Jesus, that being presented in an authentic, genuine way that connects with people, that you by your Spirit would move their hearts to repentance and believing in Jesus who died for their sins to be forgiven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.